brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
Coach, this is the snack of champions, so I'm looking forward to our time.
You know what? Nerd cluster for every player.
It's going to be a battle for 48 minutes.
But now we're over here with 20-degree weather. Talk about two coins. Two
Says the,
coins
the man there, who but... wears shorts. Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. John here, Nick over there. So it's Nikki and Nelly once again as we start season number three, postseason going on. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small, audio, video, double screen experience, double device experience. However, welcome to the playoffs.
We are here. The road to the bins
starts now.
Yes, I have my brackets.
Oh boy, have this cardstock brackets. We always have to... I always have to mention that. It's not regular paper. It is playoff paper.
Yeah, because as much as we write on them and have notes and all of these things, I mean, look, okay, so here's your close-up. I mean, traditionally, you know, you have the paper in and of itself, like legal pads and everything, and you see how thin it is, but how easily manipulated it can be. You know, you can wad it up and it gets thrown in a pile someplace. Cardstock, you can't mess around with.
You can't mess around. I feel like, John, all the kids are doing the Get Ready With Me videos, you know, like on the TikToks.
Okay.
I'm not cool enough for that. Well, however,
yeah, I would
feel
call
like
the TikToks too.
I feel like you could do a Get Ready With Me version of that for the playoffs because you have such a process.
Yeah. Yeah, it only took me, 30 years to figure out?
But you got it, and we're here, and it's something I love to admire about you while simultaneously making fun of you for.
As you should. So. You should absolutely do the latter before you get to the former. Last week was a bye week, and that's why we had the All-Stars on, and we got the perspective of a lot of different folks from around the state of Georgia. And now it is 32 by 7, and then the private... let's see, how many buys? I think it's like a field of 24, if I remember correctly. So it's 32 and 7 is 248 teams, I think, chasing after championships.
Is that a question to me? I don't have the answer.
Yeah, it was kind of like trying to figure out how many teams are chasing after championships. And so today we take a look at our game of the week for round one of the playoffs. And it is Mill Creek and Colquitt, two fantastic pedigrees. And then the interview... As our separators, we kind of sit there and we have Josh Lovelady leading off. We have Sean Calhoun from Calhoun batting third. But our number two hitter, we chose for a reason.
Don't sleep. Mm-mm. Don't sleep on North Oconee and what the Titans are doing in Bogart.
Remember.
That's right. I know. I'm excited to catch up with him. You know, last year, I remember the sideline, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, so... distinctively, the energy that the Titans brought into Mercedes-Benz, it was their first ever state championship, which is so fun to be a part of. So anyway, he's building an incredible program. He's got a great group of staff around him, and they're doing it with some really key players. Kamari Brooks, I think he was our player of the game last year. So just a really cool story with Tyler, and I'm excited to catch up with him again.
Yeah, Tyler Arndt, and he's going to be the middle of it. He's going to be the number two hitter for us this week. So it's Josh Lovelady, Tyler Arndt from North Oconee, Sean Calhoun from Colquitt County, and we kind of take a peek at our brackets, and we sit there and go, okay, who's filling them out in pencil, who's doing pen, and what the folks behind the glass have to think about it as well. So, bat and lead off. It's a guy who is, the rest of us would sit there and say, man, you're brave. He's from Kansas. So his wardrobe is a little different this time of year, and he has no fear. We get to catch up with Josh Lovelady, the head coach of Mill Creek, coach number one in our game of the week.
Coach, you're coming off of a little bit of rest time. Be honest with me. Did you rest? What did it look like? And are you ready for the invasion of the South Georgia team coming to your home turf, if you will, this weekend?
Yeah, we rested up, mostly just getting some kids that have been banged up. We had a real physical game with Buford there at the end of the season. They're you know, fast and physical, and got a knockdown hit, drag out with that. So it was good to get healthy. What did it look like last week? We kind of used half the week to look at what we do need to do, a to-do list. How do we need to fix us? Because it doesn't matter who we play if we don't fix some of the things that we've, you know, felt like we during the regular season exposed us. or that we need to build on as well. So it's been a unique. I've never had this happen in 30 years of having an off week before the playoffs. So it's a little bit uneasy because you get all excited. Hey, we made the playoffs. And then, okay, whoa, let's not get too excited. It's 2 weeks away. So.
Well, and at the same time, it was, and if I can remember how to read a calendar, it was bye week Buford, bye week region, all the way back into September. So literally, it's like two of the last 4 weeks you've had byes to try to navigate, A, to get healthy, B, to get things squared away so you can be ready for season three. So it's like flipping a light switch when you walk into a room. It's like on, off, on, off, on, off. It's hard to be consistent, I would think.
It is. It's hard. You know, back in the day, we used to have one off week. Now it went to two during the regular season. Now we're adding a third before the playoffs. So I think probably the biggest worry is of us old guys that have the gray beards is how do you keep a momentum? Or how do you keep, you know, a lot of times, whether it's A, momentum, you're winning, or B, you want to get back on the field because you just got your butt whipped, you know, kind of deal. Either one, you kind of want to get back out there, but you got to look at it from a different lens. You know, it was great to have a little bit extra prep for Colquitt County. They are, like Nikki, you said, they're a big dog. They're top ranked. Seems like we keep on getting every year a really good draw the first round. We had Douglas County last year, and now we get Colquitt.
Gee, thanks, so, draw.
So maybe the power rankings will help out with that a little bit down the road.
Yeah. Well, let's look back a few years down the road, if you will,
back
coach.
Back the road, yeah.
Yeah, 2022, I had the honor of doing your state championship game. So there's a group of guys that know what this takes to get to where you ultimately want to be in Mercedes-Benz Stadium for that state championship game. What's been the conversation with them in terms of leading their teammates, the conversation in the locker room, even talking about these bye weeks and what that looks like and how to keep their eyes focused on what's ahead?
That's a great question. Probably the biggest thing we learned, over the last few years of how to go, it's a long season.
Yeah.
We just talked about three extra weeks in there for byes, and you're still practicing. It's not like, hey, let's shut down shop and just go to the beach for a week. You're still doing things. So I think managing that, also, you know, managing practices. I mean, we started when it was wet bulb, but now it's, you know, we had wet bulb issues and thunderstorms and lightnings from these summer stuff. And now we're over here with 20 degree weather. Talk about two coins. Two
says
coins
the man
there,
who but... wears shorts. That's brave.
Yes, I do. I will be there. I grew up in Kansas, so this is easy. So, but I think the biggest thing is using that, our foundation. We've been here before. Trust the process. We had one returner on defense and I think two on offense. So we had to use that non-region schedule to grow up. I had to figure it out because regardless of if you have folks that have seen it on the sideline, you still got to walk. You know, you still got to walk the walk. I often use the phrase of, you know, it's like a teenage driver. Hey, you're doing great in the parking lot. Hey, come watch me drive on Interstate 85. Let's go down to Atlanta. And then when you put their butts in the car, they're like this. So, so I think a little bit, they know what to do. They know what they're supposed to do. But we've had to kind of use that to get to that point.
So how long did it take for all of these young drivers to realize that it's okay sometimes to go from first to third, if you're in the right traffic pattern, you know, if you're driving a stick or, you know, it's okay to skip a gear as long as you know how the car responds. How long did it take for them to understand what the messaging was in all of these new faces in your starting 11s? Was it through a non-region schedule? Did you hit full song at region or did it take a little longer than that?
I think, you know, the non-region, you know, we played different styles of folks. You know, Archer's going to sling it all over the place and you just got to be patient with that. You got, you know, Norcross, it's multi-town on all levels. You got North Gwinnett's just going to just line up and be sound and be able to smash it down there. So with those challenges, we also had long games with the weather that were also kind of throw those things in there. So probably the biggest thing I would say is our turning point, we kind of put it all together, was probably Collins Hill. I mean, it was a really good game there, back and forth, low scoring. Kinda, you know, we had to kind of overcome some adversities. In that, so I think that was our turning point.
Coach, we're just going to get right into it. Colquitt County's coming to town. Keys to the game. How do you beat them?
Number one, I think we've got to be patient because they're patient. And I think their crew does a great job. As far as they'll throw a hitch. A lot of times, offensively, I've been doing this a long time, you'll throw a hitch, a five-yard hitch, and then it's kind of like it's not sexy enough to keep on doing it, I guess. You know, some people's going, well, that's what they're giving you. You take it. And he does a really good job. Sean does a good job of that and say, hey, I'll just keep on taking what you're going to give us offensively. And then once they, you know, you kind of come up there, then they throw the deep ball. I think offensively also, you know, you have a two-headed monster. You have one kid that's a big old back going, you know, committed to Georgia. I don't know what his status is. He's kind of in and off the film. And then you have a little scat guy that's just lightning in the bottle. So you don't kind of know what you're going to get by the running game. Defensively, they're sound. They're in a 3-4. I think we're just going to have to understand, limit the big plays, tackle in space, and for us to not go have don't get negative downs. Being third and short is what our identity is this year.
How far back in film study do you go? Is it just this year looking at tendencies? Is it going back a couple of seasons? Do you have coaches that will sit there and look at what a team does and go back a couple of cycles? How far back do you go when it comes to study hall?
Well, we take as much film as we can. If we can get 10 games at this point, we'll get 10 games. I think because you have several different – it's not a unique formula. For us, we want to see tendencies with data, but you also see injuries. Okay, where did this kid go? You know, this kid was here for 4 games, then he hasn't been here for the last 3. You know, then you go like, well, if he comes back, what is their identity? Has it changed? I mean, if you miss one playmaker, whether it's college or pro, you know, who's the quarterback? Who's the backup quarterback? What does he do well when he comes in if he comes out of there? So I think you can kind of get a lot of information from that as how do they deal with certain situations, you know, third and long, whatever it is, you know, their tempo. That's another thing, you know, that dog coaches, you kind of like, do they go fast doing those things? So we use a lot of film, you know, we also try to look at the quality, you know, what does it match up? You know, if they're playing a wing T team, it doesn't match up what we do offensively. You know, I'm talking about they're probably going to do something different. So you kind of got to look what is it, our identity compared to their opponents.
Well, it's going to be great, and we can't thank you enough for starting the weekly car wash at GPB with us and hanging out with me and Nick and breaking everything down. It's great to see you, my friend.
I was just going to say, Coach, you don't know this, but you instilled some bravery in me this week because I saw a picture of you today, which was
shorts.
The time the podcast comes up. It was 30 something degrees. You're rocking short. So my kids complain, I'm going to say, I'm going to put Coach Lovelady on you and you're not going to complain because you're going to be strong and brave and weather the storm.
Yes.
That's right. You'll weather the storm on Friday too, Coach. Have no doubt.
Yeah. As always,
thank
Josh,
y'all.
Great to see you, my friend. We'll see you soon.
Appreciate y'all's support. Bye-bye.
See ya.
One coach down from our game of the week. Next coach coming up is someone who is on a roll. His entire run at North Oconee has been something really to behold, to watch, and take as an example of how you continue to build consistency in a program. We ask Tyler Arndt about that very thing as he gets a very, very tough opening round matchup.
John, I hope that I have my research correct.
Okay.
Coach, correct me if I'm wrong. Your last loss was against Benedictine, November 24th, 2023, in the semifinals. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so give us the recipe to your success over at North Oconee. What's happening in those waters?
We've had a run of really good football players. We have kept our staff together for close to 8 years now. The fruits of your labor of instilling things in your youth programs and then the combination of having some really talented players coming through the program at the same time. We have benefited from, you know, a combination of those things.
How hard is it in today's football to keep that kind of continuity? Obviously, you're going to have high school students rotate through. It's going to be, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12th graders. They're going to graduate and go. But if, and having me do math on the show is always a problem, but if I've got it squared away, it's 75 wins in the last 8 years with this group, and it's 10 wins, and this is going backward, 10, 15, 12, 13, 10. How hard is it to have this kind of continuity and have sustained success like you've had over the last handful of years?
It's extremely difficult, and it's taken a lot of work. I will say this, our community has been great, and we've been, you know, supported on a lot of different levels. But just having our coaches in place, to where our kids know exactly what they're going to get year after year after year from us. And being able to build this thing over the last 8 years where we've been able to pour into them, we knew that this group was going to be able to be special. We could see that 6-7 years ago when they were playing together in the youth leagues. And so now you get a chance to get your hands on them, and their coaches did a really good job of developing them. And then when we get them, you know, they're a lot further along than a lot of groups that I've been a part of in the past. So it's not like we had to do a lot with them, but certainly having our coaches in place was a critical factor in that. Keeping schemes the same, keeping routine and processes the same, where, you know, you find ways to make them uncomfortable, but they're still comfortable because they know exactly what to expect day in and day out.
Coach, you mentioned a few things there. One, routines and consistency. Obviously, since Halloween, you haven't really probably had the same routines and consistency with not playing a Friday in between there. So what has that rhythm looked like for your team, and how are you getting them ready for this Friday?
Yeah, it's certainly difficult to navigate because you want to rest them, but you also know what's down the tracks and like right. what's coming. So you're trying to get them ready for what's to come. And I feel like we have one of the toughest first round matchups of anybody in the playoffs. And, you know, Coach Smith and Perry and what they do and what they've been able to accomplish in the last several years, it's going to be, it's going to be a battle for 48 minutes. And trying to get your kids, you know, to understand that, because you want to give them rest. You want the bye week to be a bye week, but you also want to start your preparation and go ahead and knock some things out so that you're not as overwhelmed during the game week.
When this matchup came up and the grids were made, how did you impress upon everyone in your universe basically that no, this is not your typical 1-4 matchup here? You're talking about a team that has won game 15. You're talking about a coach with a fantastic pedigree in Middle Georgia and with what he's built at Perry after he left Northside. How long did it take for you to sit there and go, no, this is not a typical 1-4 coming this weekend?
Really quick. Talking about hours after we found out. I mean, it's the 2023 state champion versus the 2024 state champion in the first round of the playoffs. So that gets everybody's attention really quick. Coach Smith has done an unbelievable job. Their kids play the game the right way. They're super talented on a lot of different levels. So it did not take long for our kids to realize what they're going to have to do to get ready to play this ball game.
What would you say they have to do? I mean, I know you said it's going to be a battle, but what's going to look different than what you've done in the past thus far this season? Because their record 4-6 is not indicative of what they can bring to the table.
No, they're in the toughest region in 4A for sure. But I would probably put their region up against a lot of other classifications in their regions. So you can't look at the record, and we just look at the product of what they're putting on tape. And you know, that they're really good on defense. They're very sound. They're battle tested. You know, you're going to get their best because they've been in a lot of ball games. It's just been late scores that may have created, you know, a win or a loss for them. They're pretty dangerous on offense. They've got some skill guys that can go. They got a big offensive line. We're going to have to play really sound football and limit our mistakes. We can't have a lot of penalties, can't turn the ball over. Field position is going to be key. It's going to be a typical semifinal state championship type feel for what you're preparing for in round one.
25 points allowed defensively through the first 7 games of the year for you, and then you have the close calls with Eastside and Flowery Branch. What did you learn about yourself in an East Side game where you win by 1 and then a Flowery Branch game where you only win by a touchdown?
Yeah, now our kids know how to fight through adversity. We got up in the East Side game. It was 14-0 at half, and they battled back just like every good football team would. And our kids just found a way to overcome, you know, that momentum, the adversity that kind of sets in when games get tight. And then Flowery Branch, you go on the road to a team that's really hot, that has Coach Perry has done an unbelievable job with that group of, you know, instilling a belief. And, you know, you get on the road and you're missing, a couple key players. And other guys got to step up. So, you know, you start to learn about the makeup of your team and how ready guys are when it's their opportunity. And we had some guys step up in big and key positions that gave us an opportunity to win that game late as well.
Coach, I know last year was such a special season. What an honor it was truly to have just a front row, to be a small part of such a big story of what you're building at North Oconee. What has the conversation been like this year? Because with all the guys that are returning, but you have, like you said, a few that are out, what have those conversations been like locker room wise and messaging wise of just continuing to move forward and it starting with this Friday? And how, I know you've said some guys have stepped up, but some guys that might not be in the lineup right now due to injury, how have they stepped in to ultimately further that message as well?
Yeah, well, it's the first thing of realizing nothing's going to be handed to you and you're going to have to earn it again. And it's just kind of rallying around that of, you know, you're not entitled to anything. And you're really going to have to push to go and do what you want to have, you know, what the goals and aspirations that you have for yourself and your team. And so kind of pushing that message over the last several weeks. But then, yeah, you know, you have some key injuries and you lose a big piece in Kamari. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, how do you overcome that? And we've got some guys that have been waiting there for their opportunity and they have come in and they have played unbelievably well. But I think that's a credit to our coaches and the culture that we have of how we develop kids. And not waiting for that moment to arrive, but preparing them for the moment when it does arrive, because you never know when it's going to happen. But it's just getting them to understand that you're going to get everybody's best shot every single week. There's not going to be a week where you're not going to get tested. And I think our kids have handled that really, really well.
And we can't wait to see how it all develops there with you in one of the more atypical 1-4 matchups that we see as we look at all of our brackets here in 2025. Coach, obviously it's one of the busiest weeks of the year as you start season 3. Nikki mentioned the number. I'm not going to mention it again because usually when I mention something, that means that something is jinxed and things continue to drop off the planet.
Yep, just log off, John.
Yep, I'm logging off. But no, just thanks for dropping by. Obviously, one of the busiest weeks of the year. Can't thank you enough for doing this, especially with all the demands on your time. We'll be catching up with you soon. Thanks for dropping by the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate all that you guys do for our sport.
Definitely keeping an eye on that 1-4 matchup and a lot of the underrated matchups that you sit there and go, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like a insert seed here. It's probably because they aren't, but that's because of the rough regions that they play in. Great to catch up with Tyler and find out what's going on up there at North Oconee as they chase after win 26 in a row here in season number 3. Now it's time to catch up with coach number 2 from Football Fridays and Georgia's matchup this Friday night. We take a trip down to Moultrie, catch up with Cockwood County head coach Sean Calhoun.
Coach, this is the snack of champions, so I'm looking forward to our time. We'll catch up about these later. My unofficial personal sponsorship.
Underwriting.
But, right,
underwriting.
Right. It's going to be in my rider. GPB doesn't know it yet, but it's coming.
It's like Mariah Carey has these certain things that she's got to have. You know, she goes into her dressing room. Nick has to have her nerd clusters.
That's it. And coach, you keep winning. You guys are on a 4-game winning streak. You've hit that momentum. How have you taken said momentum and carried it through the bye week? How are you guys doing right now?
Nerd clusters.
Powered by nerd clusters.
You know what? Nerd clusters for every player. just answering the question, just trying to build on that confidence. Obviously, it's the bye week was good. Had an ankle or two here and there, but we needed to heal up. But we were very smart with our kids and did a good time off the field, on the field, did some academic stuff, but really just talked about building on that four-game winning streak. And hopefully, obviously, we're trying to do everything we can do to make it five.
In the sprint in Region 1, in the Region of Doom, that win streak starts with the win over Valdosta, and then you get the wins over Tifton and Camden, and then you have to pack a lunch, a dinner, a midnight snack, an entire gross of nerd clusters, and figure out if your gas card works and that the tires are okay, that they need the 50,000-mile checkup, because you're going basically to Bermuda to play Richmond Hill in this last game of the year, and you finish with that road trip. What does this four-game win streak teach you about your team, especially getting the win to start it off, that one-point win that you got?
That if we play consistent football, we're not bad. And, you know, and so consistency kind of sums up our season, kind of inconsistent and consistent. And you can see when we do and you can see when we don't. But that trip to Richmond Hill, that's really far. It is a really far trip. So it was actually good going into a bye week, so we didn't have to have such a quick turnaround. But so it was much needed. But you know, our kids played really well in region play. Obviously, kind of laid an egg at Lowndes, and it showed. And you know, it kind of put us in this predicament as the third seed when all three of us tied for the one. But it came down to tiebreaker, and so we're sitting here now.
I'm going to let John ask the next question. I was we were talking about your situation and the brackets, and he was like, well, I already talked to Coach about that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to let you lead with that then.
All right, so because every region is different. Yeah. We love all of our children equally, mm-hmm. each region we love. For those that don't know, what was the tiebreaker in Region 1 that let the order down? Because there are some folks that it's like a mm-hmm. coin flip. We saw that coin flip in Texas at the Valero with the three-way dance and trying to figure that. That's happened in the past here in Georgia. But what is the tiebreaker in Region 1 six, in Region 1?
So obviously first is head-to-head.
Right.
But obviously it comes down to three. So it was points allowed versus playoff teams. So okay. mm-hmm. obviously us, Richmond Hill, Lowndes, and Valdosta. So Valdosta gave up the least amount of points versus all three teams. So they got plucked out as the one, and then immediately go head to head and Lowndes beat us. So you know, if Lowndes would have won the last game, we'd have been two, but you know, we can't leave anything in anybody's hand or holding people to fewer points. So, you know, that was on us. And so now, in my opinion, you know, round one for us is basically like a quarterfinal matchup, in my opinion.
Yeah. And you're going to travel again, Coach. It's going to be
really far.
4 hour. That's not without traffic, which mm-hmm. you never know what you're going to get going through Atlanta. Coach
McDonough.
Right.
The 2:30s on the mile markers.
Now, granted, I know you're no stranger to traveling, but this is your first round playoff game. Walk us through operationally. What does that look like for your team in terms of preparation, not just getting there, but once they get there to actually play the game?
Absolutely. So we're fortunate with an extremely good touchdown club, booster club. So we'll take about half the team up on Thursday, and then the rest of the team will leave on Friday and meet us. So we'll kind of get up there and hang out and just do a little bonding, you know, some walkthroughs, some film time, eat, kind of relax a little bit. And then Friday we try to make it, you know, I mean, as much as a regular day as possible, obviously minus the classes. Again, you just try to keep it as normal as we can with same breakfast time and walkthrough time, but you do have a little bit more downtime being on the road. So that's kind of been beneficial for us. So we'll see if that can continue, but it is far to go in the first round for sure.
Coach, on the bus, what does the atmosphere, the temperature, the culture of the bus look like? Meaning, are guys on their phones? Are they listening to stuff? Are they, you know, playing games like cards? Or what am I trying to say, John? Like, what's your expectation?
It's like major league. The minor league bus look like?
Like when I've got my kids in the car, right? They're 8, 6, 4.5, so a little younger than your players. But I'm like, all right, if we're going to the beach and it's a 6-hour drive for the first 2.5 hours, No, you figure it out. You color, you read, you whatever. And then maybe, just maybe, when we find a Buc-ee's and we get back in the car, can watch a movie.
Buc-ee's, nice.
Yeah, so like what's your rhythm with that, with the team?
Well, dealing with teenagers right now, if you try to keep them off of their phone,
right.
That 4-hour ride would probably feel like 8.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just, they're all just kind of chilling. Some are sleeping, some are listening to music, some are watching, you know, shows on their phone. Mm-hmm. You know, some talk a little bit, but I mean, it's pretty relaxing. So, you know, we take up their phones and kind of get them to kind of unplug and be with each other in the evening. Mm-hmm. So, but on the bus trip, they can kind of relax. Now, obviously nobody's up walking around and hooping and hollering and everything like that. You want a little bit of that on the way home, but
yes.
hopefully they'll be sleeping on the way home. So right. That's the,
so yeah. When you're doing that, you know, we mentioned the travel aspect and how the Touchdown Club helps out. There's always also that part. You mentioned the keeping the day as normal as possible on a game day or on the drive up or what have you. So you're probably talking to other coaches. Hey, I want to do a walkthrough here. I mean, there are so many logistical things I don't think we understand mm-hmm. about, okay, I want to keep this as normal as possible. Where will we be at this particular point where I know I want to walk and I want to have my players stretch their legs? I want to have a walkthrough here. What coach do I talk to? Is there a business that I need to talk to here? You know, is there like a 4-H camp or a Boy Scout? I mean, there's a whole lot of logistics just to try to keep this as normal as possible so they're in that game rhythm when they get there on the road.
Yes, sir. So, you know, we'll go up, go about 2 hours, and there's a big rest stop there on I-75, and we'll get out there for 20, 25 minutes and snack them and let them kind of stretch their legs. And then, we'll find a high school or a church or, you know, something like that for, you know, walkthrough, pregame meal. And it is difficult, but again, we try to keep them as normal scheduled as possible.
And so how far back do you go in looking at tape on an opponent, in this case, Mill Creek? How far back do you go looking at tape to find tendencies and look at personnel and spot shadow things and things that you know you got to keep an eye on? Is it just this season? Do you go back more than one season? Are you looking at individuals and going back in their huddle accounts and seeing what they accomplish? Well, how do you analyze tape in a situation like this?
So I think first and foremost, we want to see the coaches, you know, what coaches are there right now that were maybe there X amount of years ago, because obviously we played them, you know, we've played them a handful of times and there's a couple coaches that are still there, but you know, players, you know, there's different personnel, different stuff. But this week, if we got to do a deep dive in the old archives, we will. So we'll do whatever we got to do to win. Obviously we had some different players then too. So, we're trying to leave no stone unturned, I guess, but obviously you got a bunch of film to watch this season. So it's kind of hard to watch anything else outside of that, but they're really, really good and a very, very, tough first round matchup for sure.
Really good, tough round matchup. Coach, what would you say right now are your keys to the game to come home with a win and hooping and hollering on that 4-hour ride back home?
Well, I think for us, when we're on defense, we got to minimize the big play. Obviously, they got a really good quarterback or quarterbacks. I feel like their running back is really, really, really good. And at any time he can take it the distance, they got a handful of receivers. You know, I mean, you kind of look at their roster, they kind of built like a basketball team, 6'7", 6'6", 6'5", and we're just a bunch of little shorties down here. And then, you know, when we're on offense, the number one thing for us is ball security. And I feel like if we can take care of the football, because sometimes punting is okay. I mean, it's better than a turnover, but we got to take care of the ball and we got to minimize the big play. And I'm just hoping in the fourth quarter that we're right there and aren't an arm's length away to try to find a way to go to round two.
Yeah, and since you opened up like 19 other doors for questions, mm-hmm. for me, I'm just going to stick to my original question. How many folks are coming up from Moultrie for this one? Because we know that Colquitt County travels like no other from South Georgia. And I imagine that they're going to be leaving probably the second that this interview is over and start heading up to Hushton. So what's the travel looking like?
That'd be ideal. I don't know. At times, I think us being on TV may hurt some of the people that would travel, but we love being on TV, just great exposure, and y'all do such a fantastic job. So I don't exactly know, but I hope – I'm trying to compare it to our Richmond Hill crowd and our North Gwinnett crowd, and I think both were decent, you know, considering the driving distance. So, and both of those crowds, even though they weren't humongous, they got loud at times, and that's definitely what we need. And our band will be there, and cheerleaders will be there. But you know what? The players may have to make their own energy on the sideline.
Mm. Nerd clusters.
So you hear that, John?
Nerd clusters.
No pressure, but a lot of Moultrie might be watching. So.
Yeah.
Nerd, there you go. They're saving it for like when it really matters,
nerd
right?
Clusters.
A few more weeks
nerd
later
clusters.
On.
You want energy? Oh. Nerd clusters.
Oh, it matters. Oh, it matters first round, I promise.
Yeah. No, it'll be a good one. I'm jealous John gets to be on the sideline.
No, I'm with you indoors. Hello.
You're in studio with me?
Yes.
See what I mean, Coach? Remember when I told you this is not working properly today?
I'm with you indoors in studio.
Yeah. Okay.
Cody's indoors.
Great.
Or Cody's outdoors.
I'll have my nerd clusters ready, Coach.
See,
we've wasted enough of your time.
Yes. As always,
you don't ever waste my time.
Sean, it's always great to see you, my friend. I know that it's a very, very busy week down there to start season three. It's a busy week with a lot of demands on your time, especially here at GPB getting ready for this game. Can't wait to see you, and it's going to be great to have you on Football Fridays. Once again, it's always great to have you here on the podcast.
Thank y'all for having me as always, and go Pack.
One of the class guys here in the state of Georgia when it comes to catching up with coaches. Literally, you knock on his door and it's like, hey, can you come on? And Sean's like, yeah, you know the answer to that. So it's always great to catch up with Sean.
He's one of the best. And what's so cool, especially with these South Georgia teams, is just to continue to build on those relationships. And he's just been steady Eddie for so many years.
Yeah. All right, so yep. What else is... Oh, no, wait. We have to introduce our new friend. That's right. We have to.
You can introduce our new friend. You brought said new friend into the studio.
Yes, this is...
And you said this is our new friend.
Yeah, this is our new friend, and this will be added to the studio downstairs where Nikki and I will be for the remainder of the postseason before we head to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So this is going to join us on set, and this is one of the top teams as we zoom in here. It is West Laurens, one of the top running backs in the state. Head coach Kip Burdett sent this to add to the set, and it goes with our Monticello helmet that we have from Jasper County, from GMC Prep, that one, Hawkinsville, that one. So we get to add West Laurens to the mix as well. And this one looks almost like a lineman helmet because of all of them.
Yeah, it's beat up a little bit. Yes. I love it. It has character.
Yes, and so if you want to be a part of it, if you want your school to be represented in the studio, reach out to us on social media, and you can send these, and we... add them to the stacks, which reminds me, traditionally when this happens, and I'm going to duck below the table here.
This is like fear factor. I don't know what you're about. What
this is for you from Coach Burdett.
Oh, I love this. Awesome. Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, so that's from Coach Burdett at West Laurens. So you have your choice.
Let me tell you, every millennial mom close to the age of 40 needs a bucket hat because it helps sun damage. Mm-hmm. So for the ladies that are listening to the podcast.
Yes. So
I value this bucket hat.
Yes,
this is amazing.
The West Laurens bucket hat and the West Laurens lid come from Coach Burdett for you.
That's so kind.
Yes,
I love that. Yeah. Thank you.
The workout gear that does not fit you went in my direction.
Oh, okay.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for the t-shirts and everything, because me and t-shirts, yeah, I only have like two or three of those from my entire lifetime of covering the sport.
Very cool.
And the boss takes them first, and she will wear them anyway. She's like, oh, that looks great, and I guess I know where that's going. So it goes right to Patty. All right, what do you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Wow. Okay, I'm just excited the football's back.
Yes.
Honestly, it felt weird last Friday that there was no high school football to cover. Did you talk about it while I was out of town? Absolutely. But in terms of a Friday night game, I missed it. And I'm so happy that the playoff push is here.
Yep. And I was looking at matchups, you know, since we had Tyler on to talk about a 1-4.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was looking at other matchups just kind of around that were like 1-4s or 3-2s.
Mm-hmm.
And
what else you got?
Glenn Academy at Jackson County.
Okay.
Rocky Hidalgo taking the Red Terrors to Jackson County, taking on Corey Mobbs and Philip Jones. If you missed that column, I wrote that one last week on gpb.org. Coffee, Region 2's team number 4, going to Sequoia as a 1-4. That region's always traditionally tough. We mentioned, since we're talking Quad A with Tyler, that's the 1-4 matchup. The 3-2 matchup is Ware County at Flowery Branch.
Okay.
Everyone in Waycross is going to be heading to Flowery Branch for that one. Mays at Cass is another 3-2. Triple A, you've got a couple of pickings. Team 19 against Monroe area. Team 14, Gilmer at Douglas Atlanta. Two of those matchups where the higher numbered team is being stared at. Cook and North Murray, underrated in Double A. That's a 25-8 matchup, by the way. Cook traditionally very, very tough in South Georgia Region 1. And they get to go to North Murray. And by the time we come back, both of those teams will have just scored again. Class A Division One has, a nine matchups that I looked at in the numbers. Social Circle, Harrelson County, Waco and Dublin, Fannin at Northeast Macon, Putnam at Thomasville, Temple and Tombs, Jeff Davis and Bleckley County in Cochrane, Oglethorpe County, great that they made the playoffs against Elbert County in Elberton, Towers and Gordon Lee. That's a bit of a tease to the big story that we're going to have during the championships about Towers High. And Dodge and Raven is an 18-15. 82, Manchester at Wheeler County, Wilcox at Bowdoin, Troutland at Mount Zion. Glasscock makes the playoffs again. Good for the Panthers taking on Screven. And the Privates, they get some of the teams, the higher seeds get a bye week. So the private schools will have had, if you have a bye in the first
three weeks off. 3 weeks. I was actually, our kids, you know, they're over at Fellowship, and I was talking to Coach Thompson about that and our AD, Coach Lowry, about the 3 weeks and what that looks like. Because a lot of these teams, it's 1 week, but they're, 3 weeks from October 31st to November 21st. Mm-hmm. Well, that's tough.
Yes, and that's one more than this week.
Yeah, that's tough. Okay, so we have our game of the week. John, check. Before we close.
Uh-huh. Well, we also have to check in behind the other side of the glass.
Right. Yeah. But if we had all of the money, all of the resources, all of the time,
we're doing all the games
to broadcast another game that you would consider game of the week.
I gave you like 30.
No, but if you had, I know you love all your children the same. Mm-hmm. But if you had to pick,
so then it's probably you should be answering the question.
If you were like Kevin Gerke, this is where also we need to go.
Then you need to answer the question, considering I gave you 30 to pick from.
Oh no!
See,
we'll let the viewers pick and comment and comment under our
John.
Yes, Ambassador Jeremy. Yes,
pick one.
No.
Yes.
No.
Pick one.
No.
You gotta.
I
pick
gave
one.
You 30.
Yes, I know, but 30's a cop out. 30 saying all of them are great. All of them are great. Pick one.
Wow. No.
Really?
Absolutely not. No. Nikki and I are going to be covering all of these games on Cardstock come Friday night, and you want me to pick a game?
Yeah.
No, that is not happening.
Okay. Let me ask this question. I'll reframe it then.
No, you won't.
What team?
She's going to try it. Answered, counselor.
I'm not going to make him pick. I'm going to say, what team do you feel like could have benefited the most from rest, albeit strength of schedule, injuries, how they fell in the seating?
I'm going to the private. I'm going to the private school.
Okay.
The private school, the ranked private school teams.
See, I was nice. I didn't have to be that nice.
No, because Fellowship.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you're looking, if you look at the top teams on the private side,
yeah,
you're looking at a collision course. If team one makes it, team two makes it, then you're looking at Fellowship and Hebron.
Yep.
Rematch of the regular
season. Rematch week two.
Yeah. So that,
you know what?
One.
I talked to them this week and we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. I can't give it all away, but when we get to there, we'll talk about it.
Right. Okay. So other side of the glass. Shoot, just open up all the mics. That's fine. What is on all of your minds collectively as we head into season number 3? Go ahead and open up all the mics and why not? And no one talk at all. There we go. See, that's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's exciting. Mm-hmm. This is exciting. There's nothing like playoff football. Playoff
it's the start
sports.
Of holiday season.
Exactly. And this is... This is where you get to go and like see your friends as a fan. Like you get to go and see your friends like lay it all out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either heartbreak or it's celebration. And every week.
It's almost like it's almost like Ambassador Jeremy wrote a script like this once.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think about the teams that drove 4 hours. And that's like talking to Sean. I'm like, I hope you're hooping and hollering that 4-hour drive home.
I hope you're not on social media.
log off.
Yeah.
If I'm a player after round one, log off.
Yep.
Nothing good can come from being on social media after you lose a playoff game.
Well, and emotions even on your way high. Down because you're reading what everybody's saying about your matchup.
I know. I was reading something the other day. I know we're running out of time, but I'll circle it back maybe a different week. But
sure.
Just talking about athletes and screen time.
Sure.
And I'm going to bring it back in next week. Not right now because we don't have time. But
yeah.
Just about the pros, the cons, neurologically, mm-hmm. what it does. And it was highly interesting.
No doubt.
The sports science of it that I want to lean more into and understand better.
Okay. So let's see who's on the other side of the glass. Let's see. It's President Reagan. It is Marky Mark. It is, there goes Tokyo, Mark Chilla. It is Ambassador Jeremy. Oh, it's LG Money's back there too.
You literally can't even see through... I can't see anything.
And then it is Maddie Cruz, who's visiting, special guest star on the Quinn Martin production. And is the unknown intern back there, Ambassador Jeremy? Okay. And is there anybody else? Did I miss anybody? Well, then we're done. Mill Creek is hosting Colquitt County on Football Fridays in Georgia, GPB, GPB.org, the GPB Sports app. That is Friday night, 7:30, kickoff about 7:36. Nikki and I will be indoors. In the studio, letting you know what's going on in and around the state because it is season 3 officially. So for Nick, it is Nelly. For everybody else around the glass, Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Thanks for dropping by. She's going to enjoy her bucket hat. Play it safe. Enjoy your game. Tell us all about it. We'll catch up with you next week.
See ya.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.